Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast. We're in show number 9. Joining me this week are Mr. Jim Staples.
Hello.
Alongside him is Mr. Dan Ferdinand.
Yellow.
And alongside me is Mr. Simon Pitney, sporting
welcome
a magnificent
back,
beard, I have to say.
Beardy side.
I don't think he's that magnificent. He looks like a hobo.
That's why it's magnificent. Yep. People are just going to give him change.
He's wearing about 6 tops and 1 pair of shorts. Yep. I don't quite know. You got some sort of cold or...?
No, it's just, it's fashion, isn't it?
It's part of the mental look he's going
with. Okay, yeah. All right. It's good to have you back, mate. It's good to have you back. Right, we'll kick straight off with a question Jim actually was asked the other day and said this would be great for the show. If you could choose a celebrity to manage your team, the team you support, who would you choose and why? Simon, you kick off, mate.
Oh, right. I misunderstood the question then. I thought... yeah, because I received this morning. I put it down as, oh, if a celebrity was like your team, who's most likely?
So that'll do.
Right. So what I went for is, okay, their best days behind them. Everton are a big club, but, you know, let's be honest, best days behind them. They're not a bad team right now, just not as good as they used to be.
Yeah.
Do your determination to continue to stride and keep going. So, Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones.
Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones.
He's a bit of a football fan as well, and he was at the World Cup doing his bits and pieces.
Yeah. Jim?
Well, I actually did what you told us to do.
Yeah.
Went for some celebrities. Considerations were Danny Dyer.
Yeah.
Because I love him. And Alan Jackson from EastEnders.
Alan,
do you remember
Jackson.
Him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, went out with Carol. Had Billy. Yeah. Billy's dad.
Right.
Yeah.
Just because I'm a big fan of Alan Jackson.
Okay.
In the end, I went with
Billy.
I'm a big fan of Billy as well. He's grown up now as well. Yeah. Big Billy. Have you seen Big Billy recently, Dan?
I'll be honest, I'm going to... No.
No. Not, you don't strike him as an EastEnders man.
No.
Luther Vandross, maybe. EastEnders, yeah, not so much. He might make a guest appearance. We don't know.
Yeah.
I'll carry on. In the end, I went for Chris Kamara, who's now a celebrity, but it's obviously got a foot in football, and best mates of Paul Scally, who's our chairman as well.
Yeah.
So it could even happen. He's been offered
the
job
before. He was offered the job before,
wasn't
he?
Yeah. He's been offered the job. Yeah, and
was he?
Yeah, it's been off the job twice.
Oh my god!
Oh,
unbelievable!
How good
mate.
Would it be?
Unbelievable!
He doesn't. He gets paid to watch a game and report back during Soccer Saturday.
Yeah,
and half the time he forgets to watch the game.
Yeah,
so he turns around. He's like,
he fit in quite nicely at pre-season.
Why I want him there? Just be good fun.
Obviously, I'm drilling him as well. I mentioned this to you the other day. Brian Blessed would be the person I'd have. Because you want inspiration, you want a good team talk, and as Mr. Pinney just said, a good beard.
The players won't be able to hear when they come out of the dressing room.
That's very true. But can you imagine his team talks? And can you imagine sitting behind a dugout and listening to him booming instructions out? He'd be priceless.
He wouldn't know what he was doing. All he'd ever say is, do it for Britain!
Do it for Kent.
Do it for Kent. Do it for Gillingham.
What'd I do? I'd be happy with that. Brian Blessed, he's my pick. Who have you got, Dan?
I'm going to go simple. Exactly what we need is we need someone who's good at business, because that's the type of club we are.
This is Arsenal, yeah?
Someone who is used to being in charge of a big club, big company. I've gone for my favourite, Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Vince McMahon. He owns the WWE.
Not all of the people listening are going to know wrestling is, because they're above the age of 13.
Yeah.
So you sure?
Dan doesn't watch EastEnders. When you're watching EastEnders,
I'm watching WWE.
He's got Monday Night Raw on flipping record.
Ultimate Warriors.
I think we've missed a trick there, because now I understand the question.
Okay, well, have you got another answer then?
Football, yeah. When managers, they're always up and down from their seats, when they're celebrating or protesting or something.
Yep.
Now, if you remember Baywatch, there's also slow mo's from like the
Yeah, when they're coming back in.
I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, the most attractive girls in the world now, put them in a Baywatch and they could be the managers of your club, just bouncing up and down all game. Imagine that.
Just bring Robbie Earl, he knows loads on them apparently. He had them all at the World Cup.
Anyway, I think we should do that. Lots of slow mo's of girls bouncing up and down to celebrate.
Nice. Okay, right, let's look back at the weekend, look at all our teams. Just very quickly, we all lost except for QPR.
We didn't lose.
Well, it kind of lost.
Yeah, we might
last minute job.
Yeah,
it was
true.
But I just want to talk about QPR, because I want to talk about the top goal scorer again.
Yeah, he's
scored twice. Yes, on Saturday.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on Jamie Mackie at the moment?
That he's better than Steve McLean.
And also, while we're talking about that, about 3 or 4 weeks ago on the podcast, I said Dimitar Berbatov is going to have an amazing season.
Yeah.
He's flying.
Oh, happily
he
say well done. Yeah,
he
the
is.
First time you turned up in a big game and performed.
No, this season he started well.
Yeah, he was great at Everton as well.
He
was United.
And I'll tell you, when I said it the week after, he'd just scored in the Charity Shield, was when I said it. And I said he'll be scoring big goals like that all season. He's going to have a massive season for Man United. And you all laughed. Who's laughing now?
And I know, to be honest, when you scattergun stuff like that, like you. you do, bound to get sucked.
It's
right.
Not true.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. Hernandez is going to be brilliant.
No, it's not true. I don't always say it. That was the one I said, and he's doing it.
Anyway, yes, I do remember you making that call.
But in summary, QPR won again. Gillingham lost again.
Yeah.
Everton. Do you want to talk about? Yeah, we won't talk about Everton. Arsenal let a last minute equaliser.
Yeah, unlucky. Should have scored the penalty. Rizicki's got to look at himself in the mirror. How can you blaze it over? Bad.
The best thing to do more than that.
Yeah.
Looking at himself in the mirror ain't really going to achieve
that. Yeah, no, that's what he needs. That's why you
need. He looks like Virgil Sharp.
No, that's why you need Vincent Kennedy McMahon, because he can shout out.
Stop the wrestling stuff.
We're on.
The best thing that happened this week in English football was that a guy called Pope scored for Rotherham. Because you know, all week he was thinking, oh, imagine if I scored. Imagine, and I bet he got loads of stick from his mates, like, really, the Pope. And he popped up and scored a goal.
He popped up?
Yeah, poked up, whatever you want to say. He rose above the parapet.
He rose above the parapet and
stuck one in.
Excellent.
Champions League,
yeah. While you were away, Mr. Pitney, we have adopted another team.
Another team?
We have adopted a Champions League team.
We haven't got enough.
Yeah, we haven't got enough. So we've adopted a Champions League team. Kay Murray got back to us.
Yeah.
She sent us a nice video, which is on the website now, which I'm sure you'll enjoy. Basically explaining why we should adopt Real Madrid.
Okay, I knew.
So we did a live blog on Real Madrid v Ajax during the week. Had loads of people joining in with that, which was great. And so we now have Real Madrid as our team. For those who haven't heard what she had to say, here's what she had to say.
Hello boys, now, and I've got some nerves showing my face around here after failing so miserably in the guest predictor tournament, but if you'll just hear me out, I've got a proposal for you. And Jim, before you get any ideas, it's not the type of proposal that Robert Redford gave to Demi Moore, so stop right there. My proposal is that you make Real Madrid your Champions League pubcast team for this season. Okay, so there are a few reasons why. First of all, Jose Mourinho, the last manager to win it. But let's be honest, which coach is going to entertain you more? Don't forget as well, there are two press conferences for every single game in the Champions League, pre and post match, and I'll be bringing you all the best quotes from the special one. So as the most successful side in the tournament, Real Madrid have won the European Cup 9 times, and the next one is the big one, the 10th unprecedented European Cup, La Decima, as they call it out here. And just think, if they're on course for that, you lot could geg in on all that glory. And let's not forget, the final this year is in your neck of the woods in London at Wembley. But in all honesty, in recent history, it's not been so great for the Whites. In the last 6 seasons, they've failed to make it past the first knockout round, so they need all the support they can get, and your help could make all the difference. And lastly, wouldn't it be nice to bring a bit of glamour to the podcast? You know, the likes of Cristiano Ronaldo, one of the best players in the world, World Cup winning captain Iker Casillas, and of course the special one. Come on boys, what do you say? Glamour and a glorious history. Real Madrid as the podcast team.
Right, okay, let's look at our weekend games now. We've quickly ripped through the teams that we support. Jim, we were at home to Burton Gillingham, so
1-0 Gills, but I really don't care.
You losing interest already?
Yes.
5 games in.
Yeah.
Dan.
What, 10 years in? Well, yeah. 20 years in, we haven't bloody watched them.
Baggies at home, they're going to beat... Going to beat the Baggies?
Yeah, 3 points. The biggest problem is Song's now going to be suspended and Diaby's still probably going to be out.
Yeah.
So we're just starting to run out of players to play. But no, we should just at home, we should be just about strong enough. Also, no Fabregas as well, but we'll see.
All right. Si, Everton away at Fulham.
Right, we're going to have to win, and it's about bloody time because I'm getting sick and tired of it.
Where's that?
We're at Fulham.
You're not going to win.
Yeah. Well, historically, up until that season, it was always the home team in this fixture always won. Yeah, but we won Fulham last year, so maybe trends are turning.
That was last year, though. You were bad last year. You're pretty bad this season.
We're not bad.
Not knocking on the door.
We're just not getting results.
Trap door.
Knocking on the trap door.
Shut the hell up.
Right. Okay. Our featured match of the week is Man City v Chelsea, which is the early game. On Saturday this weekend, and giving us his predictions this week is Mirror Football Steve Anglesey. Okay, we're here with this week's guest podcast predictor, Mr. Steve Anglesey of Mirror Football, and the reason we've got Steve on board this week is because the featured game is Manchester City versus Chelsea, possibly the biggest game of the season, notwithstanding what we saw on Sunday at Old Trafford. Steve, obviously you're a Manchester City fan. What are your thoughts looking forward to that game?
Well, it's a great game. It's kind of the new Chelsea against the old Chelsea, I think, in that, under Jose Mourinho, Chelsea were great efficient side, probably the most exciting team to watch in the league. The ground out victories, especially away from home, turned it on only very occasionally, had a very, very stern defensively minded midfield with Lampard sort of raiding and arriving on the edge of the box in time, great striker in Drogba. And that is the kind of, you know, Jose Mourinho might be Portuguese, but he's got a very Italian mentality in that regard. And that is the kind of mentality that Roberto Mancini has and is obviously trying to instill at Manchester City, where he's kind of building from the back. You know, apart from the game against Liverpool, the sort of second half explosion against Liverpool, really, City have not been spectacular in any regard this season, and that has cost them in the Blackburn game when they failed to put away chances in the first half. Again, in the Sunderland game, which they lost to the penalty at the end. You know, City have got an Italian manager with a very Italian mentality, and that is kind of how they're set up. So it will be, you know, it's kind of the irresistible force against the immovable object. City have only conceded 2 goals this season in, what, 7 games in Europe and in the Premier League. It's a pretty good record, and I can really see that going on. I think that, you know, every City fan wants to see lovely flowing football, playing with wingers, excitement, and City do that on occasion. However, you know, this kind of defensive tenacity is not something that has ever really been a trademark of Manchester City, and people are beginning to really enjoy it, I think. And the kind of moans about Mancini being so defensively minded, and the three defensive midfielders that City supposedly play, even though Yaya Toure is, you know, ostensibly been bought as a defensive midfielder, but he's up the field much higher than anyone thought he would be.
He's quite box to box.
Yeah, he is. You know, so, even though there have been some moans about this and the fact that we failed to put these teams away on occasion and maybe been too cautious, that's been tempered by the fact that they are so solid at the back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when he arrived there, City couldn't buy a win against some of these kind of middle to lower Premier League teams, Wigan being a prime example, who've always been a City bogey team. And you can see what he's done immediately. He inherited a great goalkeeper, Shay Given, who never left his line. That was his big failing, and that made the defensive pairing that he'd sort of put in the middle of Lescott and either Kolo Touré or on occasion Micah Richards, who were very, very nervous, you know, they were really nervous, very susceptible to set pieces, and that is what ended up getting Hughes the sack for all his reputation as a defensive guru. Now Mancini has come in, first thing, Hughes bought Vincent Kompany as a defensive midfielder, and Mancini has turned him back into a central defender. I don't know how this guy doesn't get more plaudits, you know. He ended the season, he was magnificent towards the end of last season as they, you know, nearly squeaked past Spurs, who had a better squad and got in the Champions League. And he started off this season really well. Kolo Touré looks revived again, playing behind somebody who's strong, uncompromising, always, he knows where he's going to be. At all times, somebody really reliable, which Lescott and Micah Richards weren't. So that's very encouraging to me. Manchester City are not going to concede a lot of goals this season. Whether they concede a lot of goals on Saturday, I don't know. The downside to that is obviously they aren't going to score a lot of goals either. Although Balotelli appears to be interested in finally dragging his arse off the off the bench, and it's funny that, you know, as soon as they play Chelsea, he appears to be fit again. But we shall see. You know, I think,
so is he going to be fit for Saturday? Because I've read somewhere about him needing knee surgery.
Well, that's right. Yeah, there was a story that he was out till November. There was a story that he could be out for months and months. But he certainly is now hinting that he could be playing on Saturday. Whether that's got anything to do with these visits from a therapist that he's been having at his Italian home, which is apparently a female therapist, which apparently caused the breakup of his relationship. I don't know.
Okay. And, obviously, Chelsea this weekend, they've gone off to a flyer, but it's not necessarily a level playing field yet, because Chelsea haven't played anyone from that top bracket of teams yet. They've had quite a nice start to the season. So is their position false at the moment, or you know, are they that much better than the rest of the Premier League?
Well, I think they're definitely the best team in the Premier League, and they are sort of picking up from where they left off, you know, just when they sort of kicked on at the end of last season. And they do, you know, they do play some kind of irresistible stuff, but you know, you're right, they haven't really played anyone that great yet. Mm. Even though I think it's, you know, it's quite a dangerous time to play those, you know, those sort of lower level teams at the start of the season.
And they're still keen, aren't they?
Because at least they're still keen and they've got some hope, and the sort of reality of it all hasn't set in yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you look at who everybody else has played, it's certainly the easiest start to the season of any of them. You know, last season's top six. But yeah, I mean, the key is going to be winning the battle in midfield, and it really is fascinating. You know, but Chelsea have got so many players who can hurt you kind of everywhere, and I think, you know, again, a mark of how they've changed the sort of the wide areas where City have not yet got in their first choice defenders. Left back, right back, I think that's probably it. And you kind of see the movement of Drogba in from wide positions, and the movement of, yeah, where you saw Kalou yesterday, Malouda, and that could be where they sort of have problems. But right in front of the centre of defence, I think Manchester City quite strong and can kind of nullify them kind of raiding in the middle. But whether they, you know, whether City can mount any kind of effective counter attacking is dubious as well, I would say.
So what would be your score prediction for this match if you had to narrow your colours to the mark?
Well, I don't know what the sort of the over and under on the goals is, but I would, you know, if it's three goals, I would go under. There's been the last six matches. I was looking before. I think it is 22 goals in this fixture in the last six matches,
right,
and 28 in the last eight matches, or 26 in the last eight matches. So it's, you know, it's averaging way over three a game, nearly edging up to four a game. But I would say this is 1-0 or 0-0. You know,
yeah.
Although, you know, there's always the threat with Chelsea, and there's also the sort of there's something that, you know, that City have got in them. They've had a couple of games this season, Tottenham in the first game. Particularly where they've been absolutely battered for the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
All been battered for 10-minute spells and 15-minute spells, and somehow managed to sort of hold on. Now, if they got an early goal like Chelsea have done a couple of times this season, it could be, maybe it would be 2 or 3.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I see it being very tight, maybe 1-0, maybe 0-0.
1-0 to...
Well, I'm afraid to say to Chelsea.
Okay, so... If we're putting it down as our prediction,
put it down 1-0 Chelsea, and I'll be pleasantly surprised when Balotelli scores a hat trick.
Excellent. And just before we finish, tell us a bit about Mirror Football and the 3 PM podcast that you do every week.
Well, the Mirror Football is the site of the Daily Mirror and Sunday Mirror, the football site, which got all the football content under one roof. Plus, it's got a lot more analysis from the sort of the top journalists that we have. The trouble with doing a national newspaper is that there's so few pages available. There are so few outlets for these guys to write.
Yeah.
And you know what we find on the site is that the most popular areas of the site, apart from the kind of transfer news which sells the newspaper, is the analysis from really good writers, guys like Oliver Holt, guys like Martin Lipton, guys like John Cross, who's one of our London football correspondents, David Maddock, who's writing great stuff about Liverpool and the disaster of the takeover up there in the north. And it's really great to be able to sort of give these guys an opportunity to write at greater length. And it's, you know, anything that kind of adds to the wealth of informed football debate, I think, is a good thing. So that's mirrorfootball.co.uk.
Yeah.
And the 3 PM podcast on mirrorfootball.co.uk is different to what you do. It's different to what we've done in the past on the website. It is kind of a longer form discussion with a football personality or a personality who likes football but isn't necessarily involved in it. And some of the guys that we've had so far Last week we had Ray Parler and Nigel Winterburn, who were telling us tales of how tight Mark Overmars was, and days on the piss with Tony Adams, and all this kind of great stuff. But we've, you know, some of the best stuff that we've done have been, we spoke to Tony Parsons.
Yeah, he was excellent.
He was really good, you know, the author and Daily Mirror columnist, for people who don't know him, who sort of spoke about his, why he's fallen out of love with football, but also his kind of life supporting Arsenal as a kid, and in the 1960s, told us some great stories about that. Music photographer Kevin Cummins is another guy we've had who is, if you've seen any pictures of sort of Joy Division or Morrissey, or that famous paint-covered picture of the Stone Roses, Kevin's the guy who took those. He's an ardent Manchester City fan. We had a great chat with him. So we're trying to talk to interesting people at great length, basically. Not, you know, not huge length, but these kind of top out at 30, 40 minutes a time, and they're full of really good stories about football. Not necessarily, you know, an analysis of
it's
the
more
anecdote-based,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. It is, yeah. So listen to that. That's the 3pm podcast. You get that on iTunes or on the mirrorfootball.co.uk site.
Definitely, and we'll link to that as well on the podcast site as well. Steve, thanks very much.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for having us on, man.
Cheers. Right, OK, that's what Steve had to say. He's gone for a Chelsea 1-0 win against all his... every bone in his body, he thinks that his team are going to get beat 1-0. I tend to agree with him. I think I'd probably go along with that myself, 1-0. I think it's going to be a tight game. What do you think, Jim?
I think 3-1 Man City.
Really?
I'm going to throw that out there.
Wow, yeah. That's pretty outlandish.
Yep, I think it's going to be 2-1. Chelsea are going to be battering them to get the equaliser, and then someone will get a little breakaway goal.
They did very well against Chelsea last year, didn't they?
Yeah.
Did they win both fixtures?
I don't remember, to be honest.
So 3-1 on paper looks like a comfortable win, but it won't be anywhere near.
It'll be quite close to the end.
Yeah. That's what I'm going for. Bolt.
There you go. Yeah. Dan.
Chelsea 3-0.
They are rampant. Yeah, but who have they played?
They play bloody nobody.
They're
just full of confidence. Everyone knows they're champions already. They're a great side already.
Yeah, they are.
And they are. You can't get any more confident. Kalou scoring, for goodness
sake. Yeah, exactly. That tells you who they're playing against. I'm going to say Chelsea have had an easy run. It's the first half decent team they're playing, so they're going to drop points, but I think they'll probably get a draw. 1-1.
1-1. Okay, we'll get those scores down and we'll see how we get on. Right, let's take a look at our podcast teams. Real Madrid played Champions League during the week, and Kay brought us this update.
So what we got for you? First game against Ajax, and Real Madrid had no less than 36 chances on goal, and Iker Casillas had just one save to make. But despite the onslaught on the Ajax goal, Real Madrid came away with a modest 2 goals, an own goal by the Ajax defender Anita, and then Gonzalo Higuain sealed the deal after a lovely assist from Mesut Ozil, who was excellent all game. 2-0 then for Real Madrid. Some magic in the press conference as well from Mourinho, who, when asked if it was like adults against children, said, no, it's children against children. If you take away Casillas and Ricardo Carvalho, then he's got a team full of children, although he did exclude Xabi Alonso, who he said is like a father to the boys, and at 27, I'm sure that Xabi is absolutely delighted with that. Well, the fans are really excited, and the performance certainly got the press talking that Real Madrid could really go far in Europe this season.
Right, Si, Osijek, what can you tell us?
Okay, first news is the new coach, they love him.
Yeah.
Okay, they're a big fan.
Is there a but?
There is a but, and I'll come on to that in a minute.
You knew one coming.
They murdered him.
The only major thing he's done, he's moved their kind of best midfielder from defensive midfielder to attacking midfielder, because, as I'm sure you're all bored of hearing, Osijek's problems are
goals.
The goal scoring variety.
Yeah.
They lost their last game away to Inter. It's only their second defeat of the season. The problem being that Inter were in the kind of relegation zone. Now, the next game, they've got a cup game tomorrow, and then they've got a game away at Zadar, who are also in the relegation zone. They have to win that, because after that, they've got the teams that are currently second, third, and fourth in the league. This weekend, they lost away 1-0 to Inter. This coming week...
To who?
To Inter Zaprasek.
Oh, just the way you said Inter, I was like, bloody hell.
Yeah, they've gone up as well. The basic idea being, remember the start of the season, all the fans were like, well, we want a top three finish.
Mm.
The targets have been slightly revised. They want to be in the top six come January, and then they think the new board, because obviously the board were dismissed and all the rest of it, Robert Spejar and the new board and all that, they reckon they'll probably give Karasic a bit of money. So top six, buy a couple of strikers, you would presume, and then push on. But they've got to win this week, because then they've got a horrible, horrible, horrible schedule.
Okay. Right. No Stew this week. So Dan, Barkinside, how'd they get on, mate?
It's not good. Another defeat, unfortunately. It wasn't a great week. And this week...
Was it FA Vars?
Yeah, FA Vars. It was just a horrible game, but the report's up on the site. This week, is they've got a week off because the team they were due to play is in the cup. So they're not, they've got a 2-week break. But fingers crossed, they're training on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And I'll be there at training, talk to the chairman,
the manager.
You're
going to do some motivational speaking? And, yeah. Do you know they've got the weekend?
They've got no one this weekend. They've got a weekend off.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Right, Jim.
Okay, Hastings lost 2-1 to Bury Town. Bury Town of Suffolk, who are going to be their promotion, one of their promotion rivals.
Yeah.
That's the game we're going to when we go down there. We're watching them play Bury Town at home.
Yeah. They October lost, the 20th, isn't it?
Something like that, yeah. They lost 2-1. It's now 3 defeats on the trot, which is not good. But they are creating a lot of chances, according to the website and the match reports that I've had. Sean Ray got the goal, captain fantastic, but it was like a 90th minute consolation. So it went down 2-1, leaves them 6th in the table. So they need a win, basically. They're playing Tuesday night against Concord Rangers.
Okay, I've heard of them.
Yeah, they're based in Canvey Island, nicknamed the Beach Boys. So I really hope they come out to a Beach Boys song.
We're disappointed if they didn't.
Yeah.
Just before we finish off on Hastings, a word for an ex-player of theirs, Bobby Smith.
Yeah.
He died this week, age 77. He played for Hastings in the mid-60s.
Helpfully pointed out by my father, Baz.
Yes.
That he played for Hastings. Also England as well. Yeah, not many players would have played for England and then Hastings.
Yeah, and well known to any Tottenham fans out there as well who are very sad to hear this sad news. Right, okay, Peterhead, looking for their first win of the season, as regular listeners will know. They were leading 2-1 with 9 minutes to go and then let a goal in. Scott Gemmell, I don't know if it's the same Scott Gemmell, who used to play for Nottingham Forest.
And Everton.
Yeah.
Playing for Airdrie. Jamie Stevenson put Airdrie ahead. Conor Gethin's equalised for Peterhead. Martin Babbage put Luton 2-1 up. With 9 minutes to go, Scott Gemmell nicked a late equaliser. So Peterhead are still bottom of the league. They've played 6 games, got 3 points. So it's not the most successful start of the season for our teams, really.
It's not been good, has it, really? No, not really.
Tell us about Riverside, Jim. We need some positivity.
No, I've got a hat-trick of Gillingham, Hastings and Riverside all losing. Second game of the season. We played a team in the league above, Premier League, in a cup game, and we lost 2-0. But we tried a new formation. I've got some little some audio bits which I think are going to be on.
We're going to put them on the website.
They're going to be on the
website. Special section because we sponsored Riverside this season.
So we've got the gaffer Hatchett talking about the new formation he tried. It actually worked quite well. We look quite lively.
Feedback from some of the players as well.
Yes, but we still haven't scored a goal. So it's 2 games in. We still haven't scored.
Okay.
But I mean, losing 2-0 to a team in the league above is not bad. And we were never really never out of the game. Never looked like scoring, but neither did they.
Yeah.
But it was another good defensive performance. Couple of goals in there, but never mind.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll get our first win on Saturday. Obviously I'll update, and the kit's on its way. It's been ordered. So
fantastic.
2-3 weeks, we'll have a little bit of audio. So we're going to do some player profiles on the website as well. So when we get a new kit, we'll take some nice photos and stuff like that.
Cool. That's rounded up all our pubcast teams. It's down to class and arse. Mr. Ferdinand, it's your turn.
My class is Ben Arthur, new Newcastle signing.
Say that again without him slamming the table.
That'll work.
Give a shit. We're just talking about Bergdorf scoring a hat trick in the biggest derby in the game, and you've got some ropey Frenchman scoring 1-0 just to piss me off. Are you joking? Veto.
Who's he? Did he score as well?
And my arse is the 5th and 6th official, I think they must be, in European games that stand behind a goal. And as far as I'm
we watched it, didn't we, at Old Trafford?
Absolutely nothing.
What were they doing?
I don't know. With like a baton.
Yeah. Is that a flag stick without
we've
a flag?
We've talked about it.
Right, that's
sorry,
it.
Are you really saying Ben Arthur is better than Berbatov this week?
Well, in the grand scheme of things, yeah.
We missed out on Stu News. I'll do it. Stu News. Ben Arthur scored this week.
Newcastle.
I thought he was one of the best goals of the weekend as well.
He could have gone to a lot of clubs, and he went to Newcastle, but actually looks like he wants to
be. It was a really good goal, though, to be
which is unusual for foreign players.
You must be pleased that at least if you're going to concede a goal, you're conceding
good,
something
good
like
goal,
that.
Yeah.
Rather than a
it's going to be shown again and again.
No, I'm not pleased. You did the best goal of all time. I'm not going to be happy about it, am I? Great strike. Well done, Ben Arthur. You shouldn't be past the
it's a good name, though, isn't it? Ben Arthur.
Yeah. Someone said, the guy on Match of the Day said it wasn't half a chance.
Poor.
Anyway, on that note, we'll finish off. Email us at banter@footballpodcast.co.uk, Twitter at twitter.com/footballpodcast, Facebook at facebook.com/thefootballpodcast, and we're on Audioboo as well. Any of you out there are on Audioboo, you can send us a message. That's us done for this week. We're all off to watch Ben Arthur's goal again.